I read this report recently of a firsthand account. Allow me to share it with you. It said, on a brutally hot day, I walked past a miniature golf course and saw a dad following his three small children from hole to hole. Who's winning? I shouted. I am, said one kid. No, me, said the second. The third one yelled, I'm winning. And with sweat dripping down his face, the dad gasped, their mother is. Pretty accurate. Happy Father's Day to you out there. And I just want you to know that as we talk about fatherhood and Father's Day today, that encompasses us all. That maybe you're a female and you're thinking, well, how does that apply to me? Well, you had a daddy. So we get to celebrate Father's Day together. We're going to talk about Father's Day this morning because dads have a very special place. They have an important part to play in society and the family. They have a big deal to play. But unfortunately, our society has downgraded the role of men. They've downgraded the role of dads today. Turn on the TV and you'll understand what I'm saying. Because the men that are portrayed, the dads that are portrayed, they're imbeciles, they're ignorant, they're bumbling, they're waiting for direction, they have no idea what's going on. They're the punchline to the joke. And I'm willing to bet that most of us in here, you could not find a single television show that has been produced in the last 10 to 15 years that when you watch it, you said, you know what, that reminds me just like my dad. Now, some of us it might. But you know what TV shows don't portray is the hardworking, wife-loving, wisdom-sharing, intelligent men that many of us were raised with. Now, maybe some of them didn't line up with that because I know with this many people gathered, we have a wide variety of father experiences that we bring to the table this morning. So this morning, I just want us to look at four fathers, not the four fathers, not F-O-R-A. I want us to look at four fathers today. Four fathers. And let me assure you that regardless of who you are this morning, you're not going to identify with all four of these fathers. But I guarantee you, you'll identify with at least two of them. So I'm basically trying to give you a reason to hang with me and pay attention a little bit longer to see which two you identify with. We're going to be bouncing around Scripture a good bit today. We're going to have that on the screen if you just want to jot that down and go back later and study in your personal reading time. But we are going to land eventually in Galatians chapter 4. Thank you. There's like 73 different scriptures today, so it's easy to get them confused. Right, Chad? Thanks, buddy. So the first father we're going to look at today is this is the first father of the four fathers we're going to look at. The first one we're going to look at today. Is it anybody out there who has a father? Now understand when I say that, anybody out there who has a father, not had a father, but you still have your father and is a living, active part of your life. Because the first thing we're going to talk about today as we look at these four fathers is you that still have a father. I want to point you to this passage in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Understand this. This is one of the Ten Commandments. And this is actually number 5 of the Ten Commandments. Now, when you think about the Ten Commandments, understand one thing. The Ten Commandments are 10 rules on how to deal with relationships. The first 4 commandments deal with our relationship with God. Okay? The first 4 deal with that. Y'all can take that off. That we can go on and go to that in a little bit. The first 4 commandments deal with our relationship with God. The last 6 deal with our relationship with man. And the first one of those 6 is this that we just read, honor your father and mother. God commands us to honor our fathers. He commands us to honor our mothers, but it's Father's Day, so we're going to lean heavy on the first part. So for those of you who still have a father, you're commanded by God to honor him. And for some of you, that is a very easy and noble task. for which you should have no excuse to continue to honor your father, for it is what God has commanded us to do. But like I said, there's a lot of people here. And there's a lot of people here that when I read that verse, or that when I talk about an honoring your father, your arms cross, you kind of get that stiff-necked and you think, Justin, you don't know my father. Yeah, he's still alive, but that's about it. Understand this. God's word says that we should honor our father. Doesn't mean we have to celebrate our father. So I want to kind of unpeel back a few layers of what does it mean to honor your father, particularly those of you this morning that struggle in the concept of honoring a man who's not very honorable. I can't relate to you, but I hate that that's what you're dealing with. But I want you to know that when God tells us to honor our fathers, that we have a lot of opportunity. We have good news in how to do that today. See, when God says to honor our fathers, not celebrate our fathers, when we think of the word honor our fathers, that means, well, we just need to, you know, do whatever they say. That is a degree of honoring our fathers. When our fathers are God-fearing men who point us towards Scripture, who preach the gospel over us, who love us as Christ loved the church, when we have fathers that do that, then yes, we should comply with the leadership that they do. But in the same case, then when fathers are not lining up with God's word, how do we honor them? Well, it's very possible, but it is going to take a little bit of sacrifice on your part, and the sacrifice I'm calling on is pride. Because we can honor our fathers in ways other than just doing what they tell us to do. Ultimately, how we honor somebody is that we live a life that would make them proud. And when you think about your father that maybe isn't very worth honoring, you know, one way you can honor him, hear me, church, one way you can honor a man not worth honoring is you can forgive him. See, the reason you don't honor him is because somewhere deep down inside of you, he wounded you. He hurt you. It might have been how he treated your mom. It might have been something he said to you. It might have been something he said to you a lot. It might be a fight y'all had, and that might have been physical, that might have been verbal. Somewhere, the reason you feel this way about your dad is because he hurt you. And let me tell you, when God commands us to honor our fathers, and you instantly go back to that hurt, you go back to that root of saying, I'm not honoring that man. You have no idea what he did to me. I don't. But if we're going to honor him the way God commands us to, we can start by practicing forgiveness. Because I promise you, your father didn't hurt you near amount, the amount that we have wounded God in our disobedience before the cross. If Jesus is able to forgive us of that, I assure you, you're capable of forgiving your father. And maybe that's how you start Father's Day, by honoring him, is just going to God himself and saying, God, I want to honor my father by forgiving my father. Maybe honoring your father is to actually have that conversation with him, to confess the things that have been an obstacle in your relationship, to confess the barriers that have damaged you from having a healthy relationship with your father. Maybe that's how you honor him, is you be the bigger person and take the first step and say, Dad, it's time for us to have a talk. Adult to adult, man to man, however you want to classify that. And maybe you honor him by just being honest with him, maybe for the first time, and working towards forgetting, not blaming him, not attacking him, not pointing fingers, but saying, here's where I stand. This is why I struggle to honor you in the way that God called me to honor you. And I desire to forgive you, Dad. For some of you, you've already tuned me out because this is foreign to you. But when I go back to Exodus 20:12, God doesn't say, if you want to, honor your father. He doesn't say, if he's a good man, honor your father. God says this, honor your father and mother. It might be hard. You know the greatest way you can honor your father? Whether he's an honorable man, a dishonorable man, the greatest way you can honor your father, and this might be why you're dealing with the wound, this might be why you're still hurting. The greatest way you can honor your father is to show and share with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. to present to him a love that he may have never known. There's a reason why he didn't love you the way you deserve to be treated if he has never experienced the love of God. If the love of Christ has never transformed his life, then that's probably a reason why he's not very an honorable father. Maybe the greatest way you can honor your father today is if you still have a father, which is what the category is still on, you contact him on the phone. If you can see him in person, you say, "Dad, I just need you to know one thing. That God above created you in his image. And maybe you did something different, but I assure you of this. You haven't done anything far enough different that gets you out from under the umbrella of grace that Jesus Christ demonstrated on the cross when God gave his only son so that you might know the love of God." And if you think, my father's heart's too hard, I disagree. Yours is. We go and we honor our father. If we still have a father, honor him today. Love him today. And maybe you honor him with love and forgiveness in the gospel. But today, honor your father. By the way, when God gave us these commandments, it wasn't on Father's Day, at least that we know of. So he didn't say, on Father's Day, honor your father and mother. Every day, honor your father and mother. Our boys and girls stayed with us today because they didn't do children's service because it's Father's Day. They should be seated with their families. Boys and girls, listen to me. You should honor your father and mother every day. You know, a part of that means that you obey what they ask you to do the first time. Thank you. Teenagers. Yeah, we're working up the ladder here. God calls you to honor your father and mother every day. And for some of you, that act of forgiveness needs to start with you asking forgiveness because how you've treated your mother or how you treated your father. God commands it. And maybe you guys are the ones that need to be a part of the transformational power in your family to present the gospel to your mom or your dad. They will listen to you. I promise you they will. Take them the gospel in love. And if you still have a father, count your blessings and honor him. You know, when you got 500 people looking at you, it kind of ups the ante in emotions. So the second category is for those who no longer have a father on this earth. Hey, I'm with you. Father's Day's hard. There's people in the room that this is their first Father's Day without their dad. I'm sorry. I know you miss him. Especially if he was a man worth honoring. You miss him. I want you to know that it's okay to cry. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to remember today. Nobody gave me that permission when I lost my dad at 11 years old. This is my 30th Father's Day. I counted it up yesterday. My 30th Father's Day. But it's okay to react on Father's Day to missing your dad. Don't be scared of that. Don't run from that. It's okay as a family to talk about him. It's okay as a family to laugh and tell stories, but it's okay as a family to just hold hands and do what you need to do. Because Father's Day is hard on a lot of people. But I don't want us to focus always on that. My dad died when I was 11, and for a number of years, I ran from it. I was scared to death to deal with it. I pretended like it wasn't around. Father's Day would come around. I'd go to Sunday school class, and they'd say, "Hey, we're going to write cards to our dads today." And I'm like, I got to go get some water. I was out. But it wasn't till later, a few years down the road, where God smacked me in the head and said, boy, quit staring at yourself in the mirror and feeling sorry for yourself. Open your eyes. Because there's a lot of people in this room that don't have a father. And this morning, for those of us that don't have a father, I want you to look at what you do have. Open your eyes at what you do have. I had the best mom a boy and his brother could ever ask for 29 years. That's what God gave me. I might have lost my dad, but I had an amazing mom. I had an amazing brother. I still do. I guess I don't want to say had. I have an amazing brother who taught me what it means to be a man. And a lot of times I had to learn from his mistakes, because if he were here, he'd tell you he made plenty of them. But he wasn't afraid to call me down, to lead by example, to love me. You know what I did have? I had a plethora of godly men put in my life. Robert Pegues, Breck Tyler, Tommy McCarver, Dan Davis, Martin Kyle, Kevin Cooper, William Haas, Paul Baggett, men that God put in my life to walk me through the formidable years of my life, to show me what a godly man looked like, an imperfect group of men that loved me with the love of Jesus, and they weren't afraid to. In the book of Esther, chapter 2, verse 7, this is what we read. It says, Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither a father nor a mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and her mother died. You know, realistically, I guess Esther, as she got a little bit older, she could have rolled it over in her self-pity and be like, I don't have a mom. I don't have a dad. What in the world's going to come to me? I'm just going to do what I want. I'm going to live the life the way I want, because it's not fair how I got treated. No. See, Esther didn't have a mom. She didn't have a dad. But God put in her life Mordecai. That as you read the book of Esther, you see that he was a godly man who loved the Lord, and he raised her right. And that even though she didn't have a dad, even though she didn't have a mom, she was raised, she recognized what she did have. She grew up in it, and in that, God was able to use her for a mighty purpose. The purpose was to save her whole people. It would have been easy to sit back and be like, well, I don't have a dad. I don't have this. Look at what you do have, church. On Father's Day, it's okay to mourn. It's okay to remember. But remember what God has given you. Don't miss that. I actually dare and challenge you to reach out to those people that meant the world to you when you were without, and thank them and honor them today. Maybe your earthly father's no longer here. But God is never going to leave you lacking or without. He will always provide for you, because he always is going to take care of you. So don't miss out what you do have if you no longer have a father. So those who have a father, those who don't have a father. Our third father we're going to look at is you. Third father we're going to look at is you as a father. Now understand this, guys. First things first. I'm going to read this passage to you in Ephesians. First things first, dad, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. If you're a dad, hear me on this. The greatest thing you will ever pass on to your children, other than your reckless faith and love of Christ, is how you love their mom. How you love your wife. Pause button. I get it. Somebody's already trying to find the loophole. Yes, I know there are people in this room that have gone through divorce. Maybe you're remarried. Maybe the female that you're married to is not the mother of your children. Well, hear me on this. What you can do, dads, you can be respectful to your children's mother. You can be respectful to how you treat her to her face, and perhaps more importantly, how you talk about her in front of your children. But if you, even if you're a product of divorce, you can love your wife, even if it's not their mother, you can love your wife as Christ loved the church. You're a father, which means you're raising up a son who needs to see how a man, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loves his wife. You have a daughter. You have a daughter. Your daughter needs to see what it looks like that a man who loves God sacrifices and loves his wife more than any other human relationship in this world. You want to be honored on Father's Day? Love your wife. Find new ways to love and pursue your wife. The last part says, he who loves his wife loves himself. In our society, we are filled full of people, we are filled full of men who love themselves before they love their wives. That is not the call that God placed on your life. That is not the example we have in how to love your spouse. Men, first things first, you're a father, love your wife more than any other human relationship in this world. Yes. Even more than your children. Because one day, they're going to be seeking out to be an adult. And what the example you're laying down for them now and forever will be what they're looking to be like or what they're looking to be married to. Love your wife, men. Secondly, you as a father, what are you doing as a dad to pass down your faith to your children? What are you doing as a dad to pass your faith down to your children? In 2 Kings chapter 13, we see a very, very beautiful illustration. And this is not between a father and son, but we'll get to that in a minute. It says, now, Elisha had been suffering from the illness from which he died. What that basically means is Elisha is dying. And the illness he has is the one that he will die from. So he's still alive. I know that can be worded a little tricky. Now, Elisha had been suffering from the illness of which he died. Elisha is dying. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. He said, take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. And when he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared, you will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Does this not make sense to anybody else in the room? All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get my son to come up here if he's okay with that. Come on up. This is my son, Jax. He did not know we were doing this. So whatever happens, I'm so thankful he takes after his mother. This is my son. So, Jax, if I were to tell you, pretend like you're going to shoot a bow and arrow. Okay. That's all right. Let's get a little bit more extended here. All right. Now, how would you pull the string back? You want to pull that? You're going to reach and pull the string back. Pull up. Like, that's what a bow. Is that what a bow and arrow looks like if that's what you're doing? All right. You see how it is? This is what happened. Elisha told Jehoash, get your bow and arrow. Open the east window. So open the, let's say the east window's over here since that's kind of where we're aiming. Open the east window. They opened the east window. He said, now draw back. And Jehoash took the bow and arrow, and he drew back. And then Elisha came behind him and placed his hands on the king's hands. Do y'all see what Elisha's doing here? And he said, shoot. And he let go. And the arrow went out the window and it landed. And he said, hey, that's the arrow of victory, buddy. You just fired the arrow of victory. There's somebody in that section over there. They're done. You did good. Thanks. You want to go sit down with mommy now? You don't want to go sit down with mommy now? You want to stay up here with me? Okay, well, I'm a nervous. Why don't you go sit with Mimi? That'll be good. My son, ladies and gentlemen. So what Elisha did, he said, I want you to go. And he came up behind him. A dying man came and he put his arms around him and he put his... How many of you as dads have taught your sons how to shoot a gun, shoot a bow and arrow or something, where you physically came around, swing a bat, you came around them, you put their hands on top of their hands, and you went through the motion with them? How many dads have done that? Y'all remember what that was like. You wanted them to know. Elisha wanted him to know something greater. And if you continue to read the text, and if you read what was before it, you understand that God was speaking through Elisha to say, hey, get Jehoash to understand that the victory is his if he trusts in me. And when Elisha came to him and he was dying, he cries out, my father, my father. Elisha was not Jehoash's father. He was honoring him with these words. And then he says, the chariots and horsemen of Israel, he's saying that you are more renowned. There is more power in your words than there are in the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And he's freaking out because he knows Elisha's about to die. And because God had used Elisha in mighty, mighty ways, he was scared that if Elisha dies, what's going to happen to the nation of Israel? And Elisha wanted to illustrate something very important to him because Jehoash loved having Elisha around, but Elisha was about to be gone. And he went and he did it. And he didn't just say, hey, this is how you shoot a bow and arrow. He says, shoot, and he shoot. And then he declared, that is the victory in the name of the Lord. What he was showing him was, hey, Jehoash, I've been with you all this time, but my time's drawing to a close. I want to show you that the Lord your God is still going to be with you. Even when I'm gone, he will still be guiding your hands and guiding your arrows to victory. You don't need me to trust the Lord your God. Dads, you've put your arms around them and you've put your hands over there so they could swing a bat. You've put your arms around them so the butt of the gun could go here and they could hold it in the right place. You've put your arms around them that they know how to extend a bow and arrow or whatever it is. But have you put your arms around them and embraced the cross with your children? Have you put your arms around them and shown them how to reach towards a Savior that laid down his life for them? Have you done everything you could to come around your children and say, it doesn't matter how long you have me, I want you to understand the Lord your God will never fail you or let you down. Take hold of the cross. Let go of me. Dads, have you done that? There is no greater purpose you as a father can communicate to your children than for them to love the Lord your God. Nothing greater, Dad. Guess what? One day they won't be able to swing a bat. One day they're going to have to take the jersey off for the last time, Dad. One day they're not going to be able to go hunting. One day they're not going to be able to fish. One day they're not going to be able to do whatever it is that you're madly in love with them to do. One day you're going to be gone. If God allows it, because I know every parent wants to outlive their children. And when we're gone, what will they have to remember us by on their first Father's Day? Will they've come to a church because that's where we went on Father's Day with Dad? Or not? I'll never forget. I was in South Carolina working with students, and there was an 18-year-old boy that grew up in our student ministry from the time he was 7th grade and up. And he came to me after graduate Sunday with tears in his eyes. He said, Justin, my dad has never told me he loved me. And I was really expecting, like, so he told you? He goes, no. My dad's never told me he loved me. The only time he ever told me he was proud of me is when I pitched a good game. Dads, what is important to you? Their ERA or their salvation in Christ alone? You're a father. If they don't get it from you, who do you expect that they get it from? Wake up, dads. See what is most important. See what's most important and invest in that. Put your arms around them and show them how it's done. Live the example. And then the fourth father we're going to look at is God as Father. I told you you could identify with at least two of them. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, Paul writes this. What I'm saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Abba is Aramaic for a very affectionate term for father. It might be daddy, it might be dad. It might be whatever affectionate word you use to, as your father or that your children call you. So you're no longer a slave, but you are God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. Church, we are adopted because we are redeemed. Because a loving father, well, my friend Tony Morita, he's a pastor in Raleigh, North Carolina. He wrote this, and I'd like to share this part with you. He has a number of adopted children, and he shares this story. He says, my son, whom I adopted from Kazakhstan, has a new favorite question. Why? When I told him I loved him, he asked, why? I said, because you're my son. And of course, he asked, why? How do you answer that? Out of all the children in the world, why is he my son? I started thinking about all the factors that had to come together, from the timing to the qualifications to the ups and downs and the days my wife and I wondered if we could even do this. I felt tears well up, though my son didn't even know what was going on, and he was probably sorry that he asked why. I looked at this precious little boy, and I said, because we wanted you, buddy, and we came to get you. That's why you're my son. In a much greater way, you and I have a God who says, I love you. And when we ask, why, God? He answers, because you're my son. But why, we ask. God says, because I wanted you, and I came to get you. Church, we are adopted by a loving father who wanted you in relationship with him, and he came to get you in relationship with him. He gave up his only son so that you could be a part of his family. For some of you, Father's Day, maybe Father's Day needs to start right there, of recognizing God as your Father. It's an invitation. It's a gift that God gave us to be called his son and daughter. And it's abundantly available through Jesus Christ. Do you know why? Because through Christ, he redeemed you. He made you worthy to be called his child. But it's not just something you sit there and think, oh, that's nice. It's something you have to accept. It's something we have to surrender. So dads, regardless of the father you are, regardless of the father you have or the father you had, regardless of your own shortcomings, do you know that you have a heavenly father that wanted you, that came to get you because he loved you? Do you know that, Dad? Do you know that? If you do, do your kids know that? Does your wife know that? Isn't it time they do? And aren't you the one who needs to be telling? It's Father's Day. So let's honor the greatest father we've ever known that loved us and came after us. Will you pray with me? God, I don't understand it, but I don't have to understand it to receive it and accept it. Because God, you as Father love me, love us that much. So God, this morning as we enter into a time of invitation, and we might have done this 4 million times, but the truth of the matter is this is the time that we respond to you. It's called an invitation because you're inviting us to come to you and to do business with you right now, God. God, there are men in this room that need to do business with you. Unveil their eyes, God. Father God, I pray for men who are willing to ask forgiveness of their spouse, of their children in this room before they leave. God, I ask for men who are willing to move to an altar that maybe they don't have an honorable father and the act of forgiving him seems bigger than them, but I promise you it's not bigger for you, God. So maybe they come and trust in you. Maybe they just need to move towards you, Father, and as an act of obedience, saying, God, I submit. I need you to help me in this. God, maybe there's a father here that needs to surrender and open their life to you as Heavenly Father and Lord and Savior and lover of their heart. And maybe there's unconfessed sin. Maybe there's unrepentant hearts. God, whatever it is, every man in this room who's a father would say, I want to be a better father tomorrow than I was today. God, this is where it starts in their relationship with you. So, Father, make them better dads by giving them the boldness to submit to you. Even in this time, Father, find us obedient. Be glorified in our actions and in our response. In your name we pray. Amen. Will you please stand?
He became sin who knew no sin.